Hello there, and welcome to Farthest Galaxy Star Wars Podcast. I'm your local scruffy-looking nerd for Hunter. As always, I'm joined by Jedi Master Alex.
You sure are.
Or Purged Jedi Alex, as we're getting into this.
I'm Inquisitor Alex today.
Oh, man. This week, obviously, we're covering more Imperial March in April.
Did you say obviously? I feel like obviously would have been the last episode.
Well, no. Last episode, we said we were going to do it.
Yeah.
And obviously, because they can read the title.
And that's, you guys want to hear something incredible? It's actually Saturday.
Yeah, dude.
We're actually supposed to be recording
2 weeks
today.
In a row.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
We committed for you.
Yeah, man. Got to get it back in the business. Mm-hmm. But before we get to the business with Vader, we got some news.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Inquisitors, dude, Rupert Friend being the blockheaded square Grand Inquisitor said to expect wonderful cameos in Kenobi during an interview with Hey You Guys. So I hope when he says wonderful cameos, he doesn't mean like Hayden Christensen and Rosario Dawson, because like expected, but or like Uncle Aunt Beru and Uncle fucking Owen. Like, I don't want those to be the wonderful cameos.
Yeah.
Or Vader. You know what I mean?
I don't think he would say the people who've obviously been announced in the cast list.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally on that image. It's like that wouldn't be very good for him.
But
to
like
say
Kumail Nanjiani's character is unannounced yet, at least to my knowledge, and it could be like, he's playing somebody that maybe he's playing Quinlan Vos for some reason.
Still don't think he's playing
Quinlan Vos. No, but like
Quinlan Vos is like low key a white guy in the Clone Wars.
No, in the movie that he appeared in, he was a black guy.
I don't even know if he really was a black guy.
Or is he's literally Vos?
Because he's literally, yeah, this character.
No, but he's a brown person.
Quinlan Vos, you know, he's just kind of in the back for like a second, and he doesn't even acknowledge what's happening.
Reuse that design in Clone Wars.
Sure.
Like, whatever.
But in the Clone Wars show, he doesn't have like an accent that would come from like a person of color or a person from a country outside of the States. Mm. You know, he's just like a dude.
I'm not saying he's going to come up with like a fucking Wakandan accent. Like,
no, but Kumail doesn't have
that
inflection in his tone.
Yeah,
he has a very distinct
voice.
Yeah,
that's what they get him from. He's probably a droid.
You know, you can pick him out of a crowd. Yeah. You know, he's really easy to identify.
He's probably a droid, but I want them to use his yokeness to do something.
I know.
I hope he's like the ninth sister.
That would honestly be awesome.
Hello. Like fucking big, just CGI him a little bit taller.
That would be pretty funny. Yeah, missing an eye. Thanks, Vader.
Yeah, so I'm hoping for Cal Kestis.
I'm hoping it's
the one, man.
I'm hoping it's Han and Lando, or Han Orlando.
If you want a Andor, if you want a green light,
I don't want it to be light. Andor.
If you want to soft pitch some of these shows, put them in other movies. Like Boba Fett, he shows up in Mando, Book of Boba Fett. You know, the Bad Batch show up in the Clone Wars, they get a TV show.
I mean, but they're also supposedly Hayden is going to be playing Anakin in this show, and not like Anakin who's lost all of his limbs. He's going to be playing Darth Vader and Anakin to the capacity we would expect to be a flashback. So Sam Jackson could come back. He could literally be in a fucking flashback.
Darth Maul could be there.
He could be there. Well, Anakin never met Darth Maul, I don't think.
Oh, no, he almost got clipped by him.
Yeah, well, that's like it. Like, when I say meet, I mean in the sense that they had, like, a conversation or a fight.
I don't think they talked in the Clone Wars. I know they talked in...
They don't engage.
...comics. When they go, Vader and Maul talk.
Yeah, they do. I think that was Legends stuff though.
But still.
I think they just fight, actually, even in that comic. Mm. But, I mean, the closest I believe we have in canon right now is the end of that Rebel season, where Maul gets, like, thrown off a cliff. And then Vader is like, all right, I'm the bad guy now for the ending, because Maul isn't here right now. He did something else.
He's gone.
I would love it, personally, if we got some kind of Maul and Vader interaction at some point. And I'm pretty sure that we've said that, like, a million times on this show, because that's, like, wish fulfillment out the ass.
It could be this. We could see fucking, like I said, Andor. Or K2, or one of the assassin droids.
I don't think those are wonderful cameos.
When people say wonderful cameos, they usually mean like wonderful actors. So I'm thinking of like the people that we already have cast who are bigger actors.
Like, I thought Rogue One was cool. I just didn't care about the characters like at all.
Well,
because we literally got introduced to them and then they die in 2 hours. Literally all of them. So I'm like, great. You know, it's a good story. I don't care about any of you, though. Yeah. And I'll never care about any of you, because I know you're all going to die before the really important shit kicks off.
Well, what's awesome is, if you watch everything in timeline order, once the Andor show comes out, and you're reading like books and stuff, you'll see all these characters and grow to like them. And then you watch Rogue One, everyone, including Saul Guerrero, just gets iced.
I think a lot.
So if like you're a kid watching this content,
exactly.
Oh my God, he's dead.
Exactly.
These characters that I've seen, like I've seen Chirrut and Baze in the Garden of the Wills book. I've seen Andor and K2 in the Andor show, and then boom, dead. Like, it's gonna be nuts.
I think it's gonna be really good for the kids who grow up, like, now, right? Yeah. It's like, let's say you're just getting into Star Wars as a kid now, right? It's like, and you're trying to get into it chronologically would probably be the best for the sake of, like, actually getting to enjoy these characters before you lose them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can agree with you that it's definitely the next generation of kids that's really going to grow up liking these characters, probably more than some.
Because they have they'll have the content that came out subsequently and have everything else.
I mean, Clone Wars was like exactly that. They're like, let's just fill this out for you, you know? But those are the characters that I saw in the movies that were in the theaters when I was.
We weren't like everywhere. Mace Windu got a lot of time in there, so did Yoda. I know we knew Yoda from the OT, but.
Yeah, you know, Yoda was like a treat even for me because my dad, even when I was like a young baby, he showed me the OT before we went to go see the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is cool.
Like the green guy.
It's just seeing the prequels, I think, in theaters solidified them as like, these are the movies that are my generation's movies.
Yeah.
You know, I still want to see the OT in theaters. So whenever they do that again.
They do every once in a while.
I'm hoping to be able to go for the Return of the Jedi anniversary in like a year or two.
Yeah, I was going to say we missed Empire, I think.
We did. We totally missed Empire because it hit at the beginning of the
COVID stuff.
Backstreet Boys reunion tour.
Oh, that's the game that I'm trying. Oh, okay.
At the beginning of COVID, they were like, oh, you get demonetized if you talk about COVID. So they started calling it the Backstreet Boys reunion tour. They're like, oh, yeah, man, we've been, you know, taken out of commission with this Backstreet Boys reunion tour, so we can't really do anything.
Oh, that's really
somebody weird. Like wrote a news article about how people have taken to calling it that. And like Ego Raptor was like, yeah, it was us. We did that.
That's fucking funny. I'm going to start using that now.
Yeah, dude.
The Backstreet Boys reunion
tour.
Did
you get your reunion tour vaccine?
You get your VIP pass?
Did you return your Backstreet Boys VIP tickets?
I'm sorry, I'm anti-VIP.
I'm anti-Backstreet. I don't roll with the boys.
Backstreet doesn't exist. They never came back.
Backstreet's not back. It's not all right. All right.
Yeah. Hayden Christensen, speaking of Vader, man. Yeah, this is a good Vader-filled episode. We got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man. Actually, let's talk about the third thing first.
Yeah, let's do that. It's so relevant.
Fucked up. Yeah, we'll talk about it after. Let's just keep it on the topic of Inquisitor.
This one's so long. Okay.
We'll keep it on the Inquisitor topic.
We'll keep it on the Rogue One topic and go to the fourth one.
Oh, man. That's so much. Yeah, we got to talk about other stuff, too. No, because it goes a little deeper. All
we
right,
have a lot of this stuff.
All right, we weren't really on the Inquisitor topic at this point anymore, but we're going to go back to the Inquisitor topic.
Yeah, man. Because you want to complain.
Because I do want to complain. And you know why.
I know why. How could I know why, but I don't care. So, I'm personally like, cool.
An article from MakingStarWars.net claiming to be an exclusive details that the third sister, Reva, will have
the third sister?
Yeah, that's her deal, apparently.
I looked up
Reva, and they said she's the third sister.
Is she in the comics at all?
No.
Oh, so they just went 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8?
I think they just skipped over some in the original thing.
They had ideas for all of them.
Because we see a lot of female Inquisitors. If you think about it, it's Trilla, it's Big Chungus, and it's the Green Girl. Those are our three female Inquisitors.
The two unnamed ones from the Vader comics that died.
And we never had, like, a third, I don't think. We just had, like, the fourth. I don't even know, like...
No, yeah. I remember it was like...
Yeah, there could be Inquisitors out there still that we don't.
We were looking it up a while ago, and it said, like, unnamed third sister. And I guess this is them filling in that gap.
Because what do we... We have 12, right? Up to 12.
I'll go over now. Let's see what we got.
Bless you. Yeah.
Yeah, we have the Grand Inquisitor, who is like number zero, essentially. He's like number one's dad in Codename Kids Next Door. He's like the OG. He's the one they get initially.
Is there a first brother?
No, because he's technically the first brother. But immediately goes to second sister. Unless they want to break the rules and then do a first brother just to fill in a gap.
So Vader is technically number zero, and the Grand Inquisitor is number would one. Be number one.
He's the first brother, yeah. Because the next one is Trilla as the second sister.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, like I said, unless they decide to backtrack.
I mean, I'm okay with him being number one. Because he's the Grand.
He's the one we've seen.
Number one.
Can't find
the You were number one!
Yeah, hold
on. Oh, I'm sorry. He was number one. I'm going to hand him my SpongeBob license. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not anymore. It's not for me.
All the kind of inquisitors.
I'm going to finish what I was saying.
Yeah.
The third sister, Reva, will have a much larger part in Kenobi than we originally expected. The article claims she will be a big focus of the show, and they'll be diving into her backstory in which she was taken as a child, inducted into the Jedi Order, then forced to join the Empire or die during Order 66. It's pretty clear which choice she made. This will apparently play a big role in the concluding episodes of the Kenobi show, where the conflicts of her past will decide how she handles the situations at
hand. She's going to have like Kenobi at like saber point. She's going to beat Kenobi in a fight, because... It's the show.
I think more along the lines like, of...
I have to protect the boy.
I think it's more along the lines of she's chasing Kenobi, and then it gets to the point where Vader finds out that she's on his tail, and he's like, I'm coming.
He's like, that's my
thing. He's like, this is my thing to handle. Mm-hmm. And he'll show up, right? And through whatever conflicts her and Kenobi have been having, he'll probably do his introspective, you know, you're the man who leads you is like
my boy,
baby, right? Or whatever, you know.
He's killing his wife and family.
He'll, like, have her doubting herself. It seems like the Grand Inquisitor is going to kind of treat her like shit, too. So maybe she's not really going to be happy with her situation. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be more along the lines of Vader is going to have Obi-Wan, and he's going to be like, I have you now. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to be like... Maybe this isn't the right thing to let happen, and then she'll step in and stop it.
And she'll get Trilled?
Which I don't want to happen, because I just want Obi-Wan to be able to handle this on his own. But I want to explain this, that I don't hate the idea of them doing this. I think this is actually a really cool idea.
Fall in order.
I just think in the Kenobi show, we should be focusing on Obi-Wan, and not the flashbacks of another character that you're just introducing.
Fall in order.
You know, sorry. I feel there could be another place to do this for her.
I have a fall in order
I'm going to hold my skepticism, though, until... we actually see the show and we see how much it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be dead ass with you. If in these six episodes that we're getting of my favorite character in like anything ever, mm-hmm. we have a 40-minute episode that's not about him and it's about Reva and her backstory, I'm going to be very upset.
I hope they play it.
That like, would be like a transgression against me.
I hope they play it like,
I just want to see my guy.
How Book of Boba Fett did it, where it's like at the beginning, we'll see like a little bit of flashbacks. But it won't be specifically on Reva every episode. It'll be like, this is a Kenobi flashback for Clone Wars. This is going to be like a Tarkin flashback or a Krennic flashback, because those are the cameos that I forgot to talk about that I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could also see Revan's backstory. But this sounds just like Trilla. You even write down at the bottom, she might become a good guy at the last second and get Trilled.
Yeah.
So
that's because that's kind of what I expect to
story.
Happen.
We're following Cal Kestis.
She doesn't exist outside of this story, as far as we know.
She shows. I think now they put her in comic books. Besides the Fallen Order one, I think she's in the background of like one of the newer books. As like this is a flashback with the Inquisitors. There's Trilla. Like you know that's just one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So and they'll retroactively start doing that when they cover prequel stuff with Reva too as the third sister.
Yeah, I. And again, for as much as I don't really want to focus on just this random new character that they're adding, I would be okay with them splitting the airtime between Kenobi and Reva if it was like a 70-30 split, you know? It's like, just give me time with Kenobi, and please don't give me any episodes that he isn't in.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me he's at least in every episode and says at least one word in every episode. Yeah. Don't do what you did to Boba Fett. Obi-Wan Kenobi. I feel like he's too much of an iconic character to have that treatment done.
So and Boba Fett.
He was such a strange character to give his own show. I was all for it, and then it went the direction it did, and I was like, all right,
the problem is with about the Boba Fett show is the Boba Fett show is continuing the new content while Kenobi's filling in gaps.
Exactly.
So if they were like just to refocus the whole like different things on Kenobi, it's like, no, you're not introducing these new characters that are going to appear in the Mandalorian timeline. If Reva shows up in the Mandalorian timeline, I'm going to like shit a brick. Mm. How did she survive all this time? Especially if she doesn't die or stays the path of bad or turns into a good guy. Where the fuck did you go?
We also got to consider that aside from Kenobi and Reva, there's another really cool, really important, much more interesting character. And his name is Darth fucking Vader. It's like, so how are you guys going to split the time between Obi-Wan, Reva, and Vader? Is Vader just going to be, like, sprinkled in? It's like, because I feel like we're at a point where he's not this, like, mysterious, brooding guy anymore. We know so much about this fucking guy from comic books, TV shows, you know, the Clone Wars giving us the Anakin Skywalker biopic. It's like... Mm. He's not really aired in mystery anymore.
No.
So I feel like they can be a lot more liberal with how they want to use him. You know, just make him be him. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I just want the show to not feature this new character overly much that I don't care about in comparison to these other two characters that they said are going to be a big focus of it. So I personally don't think that's a lot to ask. I don't think that's even being toxic on my part.
No,
you know, it's like you guys said that you're getting Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen back to play Obi-Wan and Anakin. I want to see these characters more than I want to see your new Inquisitor. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
they're trying to launch the Inquisitor show. They're trying to, like, add more characters to their repertoire. I hope that... So here's my little pitch for Fallen Order 2. Cal Kestis shows up in Kenobi. He sees that Reva needs help at the end because he just saw Trilla get Trillid. And he takes her, and then she's in the next game. Just so then she's still in canon instead of dying at the end or going absolutely nowhere.
I mean, I'd love to see Cal, like, 5 years removed in the Kenobi show. Yeah. That's like what? That's like 5 or 6 years later, right? Yeah. Something like that.
It's a weird...
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Give him a little Cal goatee.
Oh, no.
Cal mustache.
Don't give him on a hand any facial hair.
Give him the same beard that Obi-Wan has.
I love that.
Be like, nice beard. Like Master Kenobi.
Wow, yeah, I remember you. Dude, what if Cal Kestis is the one who sees Kenobi and goes, did you and your Padawan escape? Where's Anakin? He just drops the fucking, and then it flashes back. And like, that would be crazy.
That's another cool thing, you know.
We would know it, Obi-Wan Anakin.
It would be really cool to see him, you know, be like, oh, wow, Master Kenobi, you know, I remember seeing you in the temple. You may not remember me. My master was Jaro T'Pol, right? Yeah. And then we have a line about Obi-Wan saying, oh, yes, Master T'Pol. It's like, oh, my God, Obi-Wan Kenobi just acknowledged the existence of a fucking character from the video games. So cool, yeah, you know? It's like, cool
if they do something like that. Or they have, like, a flashback at the Jedi Temple, and you see young Cal.
Moments like that really pull it together for people like us, you know?
Yeah, so, where we play everything.
Continuing.
Like when Hera showed up in Squadrons, like, that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
The last little bit.
So you got to continue what you've set up, and you can't just drop it and be like, well, this is for this medium, this is for this medium. It's like, it's all together.
Aiden Versio's daughter showed up in, like, 2 books. It's like, that's cool.
Dude, I was hoping to see her in Episode 9.
The daughter?
Dude,
she's on the Resistance base.
The ending of that DLC for Battlefront 2, they're like, oh, you're going to go help find the people who are going to, like, save us,
yeah,
right?
It leads into a
book. I'm expecting the next movie to be like, oh, well, I'm here too, right? And that's Aiden Versio's daughter. She came back with a shit ton of people. Mm-hmm. No, we're just not going to talk about it. She's probably there in the space battle on Exegol.
You could say she's there.
It's probably in the novel that she's there. Yeah. You know? Maybe. I think we talked about it.
Novelization.
Actually, when we talked about Battlefront 2. We're going to have to re-listen to that episode.
So, the Inquisitors. So, before we move away from this Kenobi talk and the Inquisitors,
there are
10 canonical Inquisitors, now 11 with Reva. We have the Grand Inquisitor. He's technically the first brother, but like I said before, they could easily change that just by going, he's the number zero.
I mean, Vader's literally the father.
Yes, the Dark Father.
Yeah.
He could be, oh, maybe he's the mom.
Oh, dude, he's the mom. No, Palpatine's the mom.
That's
why he dresses like that. Wearing all of his, like... It's like nightgowns all the time.
Tarkin is the estranged uncle. You just invite because you have to.
Well, he's like Palpatine's brother, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't talk about Tarkin like that. I love him. Family loves him. If you're mean to him, you're mean to me, and you know I don't like that.
He talks about it in the comic. He's like, because there's a plot to assassinate Vader later on in the book, and... Palpatine's like, you can make an example of all of the rest, but not talking. We need him for later. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because he's canon.
Yeah, I'm laughing my ass off.
He's got to at least make it to the fourth movie.
Well, it goes back to Clone Wars, man. Palpatine always liked Tarkin.
So did Anakin.
And
I thought that was cool.
Even
he's like, I like the way you say
three, especially now with Clone Wars. It was always a thing that I was like, when I would watch Revenge of the Sith when I was younger, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Tarkin at the end.
Like, that's the guy.
Now when I see like him at the end, I'm like, it's Tarkin at the end.
I'm like, he's saying how he gets to stay. Yeah. I love it. It shows up in Clone Wars. It's like one of the coolest episodes. I'm like, what?
So stupid, the shit that we get excited over. Oh my God, Tarkin is standing in. That's so fucking
dude,
bad.
When Tarkin showed up in Bad Batch and he looked like he needed food, he was like, I'm like, geez, he's getting to that age, I guess, where he blows up in a Death Star.
I need him like a month.
Yeah.
What the fuck is
it's
that?
It's different art styles.
The art style has changed. Pray we do not change it further.
And then Rebels. So the next one is the fifth brother. That's Han's character. Yeah, I forget his name, the actor. Han from Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Fifth brother. He's the one that's got, like, the rice hat.
I'm not, like, a big fan of his, so I don't know his name either.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Fast and Furious guy, so.
Next up is the seventh sister. She shows up in Rebels as well.
She's the bleeding one, right?
Yeah.
The one that we're like, that could be Barriss.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's what everybody thinks. The eighth brother is the one that falls off the cliff and dies. He's a Tyrillian Django jumper, if that helps at all.
He's the one that Maul they like slash his lightsaber, and then he gets cornered and he goes to like fly off the cliff, and then it like malfunctions and he just falls to his death.
That's the guy. So that's this guy right here. These guys are trained assassins.
This poor bastard. He's like, shit, I'm gonna die.
Next up is the sixth brother, known as Bill Valen. Apparently. Okay. He's,
Ahsoka killed him, I think.
Yeah. An unarmed Ahsoka was able to kill the sixth brother by using the Force to sabotage his lightsaber. I don't know if he's in Rebels, but this is him.
He's not. She took the, crystals from him and purified them. That's where she gets the lightsabers.
Okay, so is this from what comic?
It's not in a comic, I don't believe. Well, I think that's from a Vader comic.
Yeah, and then it says...
I'm pretty sure he just...
It just says, yeah, I guess it's just a canon bit of news, where it's like a...
I know he's, like, the least liked Inquisitor, and I'm pretty sure he's the reason that the Ninth Sister loses her leg.
Oh, okay.
She's like, help me, and he's like, nope. And
he runs away, and the Ninth Sister gets the shit end of the stick.
Yeah, dude.
I hand leg. Mm-hmm. Like, bro.
She gets goofed. I hope she comes back in Fallen Order too. I'm not convinced she's dead.
No, they pushed her off a cliff. She's fine.
We need to see her body.
Yeah, she's huge, dude.
I didn't hear no bells.
It's a brick house. Next up is the 10th brother. That's our boy, Prosit Dibs.
Prosit Dibs.
It's from the Mace Windu book.
It's still on the coins.
Yeah, he gets blasted.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
It's going
to
be good, man.
I can't wait to see that on paper.
Next up is the second sister. That's Trilla the Hutt.
Yeah.
And then we have the 9th sister, the big one.
Big Chungus.
Yeah.
She's in tune with her emotions.
Apparently, her master was Mansa Tide.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing?
I think we see more about it in Darth Vader Lords of the Sith, it says. So.
I hope they make a Prosit Dibs show.
Do they? Sick. Dibs, a Star Wars story.
I love that. Be a great opportunity for Sam Jackson.
And then besides Reva, we have two unnamed Inquisitors. The Black Twi'lek, who we'll see in the Darth Vader comic, I think in the next arc.
Mm-hmm.
And the unknown female Inquisitor, who's like the red alien. I think, believe both of them get iced pretty quick.
Yeah, her and one of the other Inquisitors fall in love.
It's these two.
Yeah, that dude. They fall in love and they're like, we're going to, like, they have a baby, I think.
Well, they take a Force baby. They take Eeth Koth's wife's daughter.
Oh, that's who they
take. That's the first, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was there.
That's the next arc, I think. Spoilers. They take
Do you know what happens?
They get dead.
Yeah.
They get dead hard.
And then Vader takes the baby.
Yeah.
And then we never see the baby.
That's why they're like not even given numbers. This is probably like maybe the first brother, or again, if it's not the Inquisitor. And this is probably like the 10th sister or some shit.
I don't know, man. Because
Or it's the 11th brother.
They might go up to like 11
and 12. Is Starkiller an Inquisitor?
He's not a character.
You know that's a lie. Shut up. You can't even, like, pretend.
Dude.
I don't think he'd be considered an Inquisitor.
With the re-release of The Force Unleashed on the Switch. By the way, another, like, nice piece of news. Of The Force Unleashed on the Switch.
That's content update.
It's been doing really well, and people have been praising, like, the shit out of it. I'm hoping that this is what Disney needs to, like, the kick in the ass for them to put
remake
the old ones on the PS4, 5, and the Xbox consoles, you know, like that, like remaster them in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hopefully, because Sam Witwer's still alive and like a fucking huge Star Wars nerd, and he literally doesn't look any different, and he's like yoked now.
Yeah.
It's like,
what do I mean? Dude.
Do it.
The problem is, like, anything that's going on right now, he can't show up in, because he'd be a child. Because this is only, what, 10 years after Order 66, and that's when he finds him?
Yeah, it's around episode 4.
Yeah.
Like, probably like a year, or like a few months prior to episode 4, that the story of Force Unleashed.
Yeah, I think he's like 19, so I think Vader finds him when he's like 4 or 5 in the game. And then 15 so years later, he's 19, 20.
It would be more than 15 years. Because if it's during Order 66, presumably he found him within the first year or two.
Yeah, but he wasn't a baby.
And then there would be another 17 to 18 years there.
Yeah, so he's like 22, maybe 23.
I think he's in his early 20s.
Yeah. So he would be like 17 in the Kenobi show.
He would be younger. He'd be half that age because it's only 10 years after.
I thought it was 8.
It's 10 years. That's what I've been reading everywhere.
Okay.
That it's 10 years after.
So he'd be like 12.
Solo is 8 years
after. He'd be like 12 or 13.
Because we've done the timeline, and then
I have it not written
remember it.
down. I just
I
want
know,
to go
I'm
back
not
and look.
remembering it like exactly, but I know we've talked about that Alden Ehrenreich could show up as Han in the Kenobi show
Yeah.
because it's literally around that
Yeah,
time.
it's very close.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see maybe that's a wonderful cameo.
Dude, I hope. I'm all right with Alden playing Han. He just can't play Han
In the future.
fucking after the Kenobi show, you
Unless
know? Because
it's in the Lando
it's like
timeline.
he's
Or
starting to.
Andor.
It's like if you. Once you hit Harrison Ford, you can't change it.
Dude,
You cannot
you
go
know what
any other
was an
direction.
awesome introduction to Han Solo in the TV timeline? Put him in the Andor show. Andor and the Resistance need help from a smuggler. They just don't know who it is, and they end up finding either Lando and Han or just Han.
You know, I don't want to see Han do anything else with the Resistance, Rebellion, whatever.
Beforehand. Well, Andor
Because
is a little
I
sketchier.
was talking to my brother about this. I'm like, that's where I think Solo really lost me. They start playing on the like, oh,
He's like
he's
kind of
like
good.
low-key a good guy. I'm like, yeah, we fucking know. I saw this already in the movies that
We
introduced
know
him
he's
to
not a
this
prick.
character. I
He's a
wanted to
smart
see a
guy.
movie about this dude who was like not a terrible prick, but also wasn't like the best dude. It's like that's the movie I
He's the
wanted
best
to
dude.
see, you know? And it's like the thing that finally pulled him out of it was in episode four when Luke is like, no, this is a lot bigger than you, man. And you could be a lot of help to a lot of people. So you running away with your money is like a really fucking shitty thing to do.
And he's like,
Right? And Han's like,
"You're
maybe
right.
that kid's right, you know? Maybe I should help.
Maybe you
You
are
know?
somewhat
So
correct."
getting that again in Solo always just threw me off. I don't want another Han Solo story where he's like, I'm gonna do the good thing for the rebels, and I could be a rebel one day, but I'm
Well,
not gonna join up right now.
unless Andor
It's like
does it under the
keep him
guise of
as
he's not
far
part of the
away from the
rebellion.
rebels as possible. Please just let Han Solo be a smuggler for a bit.
Well, he could be
Let
a
him
smuggler for
work.
Andor.
Let him just smuggle for Jabba the Hutt. That could be a cool
Well,
ass movie.
it's
We
got a
talked
comic
about
book.
it. Han Solo, Greedo, fucking Boba Fett, Lando
They're the
Calrissian, Bosk,
boys.
Dengar
They're the
on the
boys.
fucking mega mission to go steal like the super spice for Jabba the Hutt.
And then Han drops it,
You're
and
gonna tell
that's
me
what
this
Han
wouldn't be
Solo
like the
does.
coolest fucking like Star Wars heist movie that you've ever seen?
Oh, dude, I've been pitching this since before the Solo
And
movie.
you're talking about putting this asshole with Cassian?
Yeah, because that's the content they're making.
They need to stop.
They need to be stopped.
They need to be stopped. They need to be given the keys to the castle that will give them success.
It'd be cool if Kenobi interacts with Han, and Han and Chewie, the one who smuggled him off Tatooine. That'd be tight.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, because it's a fucking lightweight freighter or something, so they're not gonna think it's like, oh man, he's not escaping on the fucking giant disc. He's driving a little fucking starfighter.
Doot-doot. I mean, I don't think that will. I honestly don't think we'll
I want to
see.
see him do a mind trick to Han. Because Han's never been mind tricked before, at least in
I don't
visual
think
media.
they'll be like directly like working together, maybe more so in the fact of like Obi-Wan and Han would be like in passing or something.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to team up forever. I'm saying, like, Obi-Wan will be looking for a way off planet, and either he interacts with Han Solo, because he says he knows Chewbacca, obviously, from the Clone Wars, but how would they have met up again in that between that time? He goes, oh, there's an old friend. I'll talk to him in the fucking cantina.
Yeah.
And then it's Chewbacca. So how between Clone Wars and that timeline did he find Chewbacca?
Yeah, there's
Because he
definitely
doesn't
stuff
really meet
they
Chewbacca in the Clone
There's a
Wars.
lot of cool
He just
stuff
knows
they
of
do.
him.
Well, I think he actually just meets Chewie in the cantina in episode four. I think if I'm remembering it correctly, they say that they need to go find a pilot. And then they just go to the cantina.
And
And
Chewie is
he
there.
just like walks off to the side and starts talking to
I
Chewbacca.
thought it was like
And then
he
Luke
knew
is just
Chewie.
like hanging out at the bar.
I thought he knew Chewie.
I think it's just he was looking for a pilot because it's Ahsoka who meets Chewbacca, isn't it? When she's being hunted by the
Yeah, she's
Trandoshans.
the only one who meets
I think
Chewbacca,
she's
besides
who, and
Yoda,
then
who's number
Yoda goes,
three.
yeah, because he's got good relations with the Wookiees I have. Because yeah. So I think it's just kind of her and Yoda who really know Chewbacca, but Chewie's like copacetic with the Jedi.
Yeah,
So
he's around.
Obi-Wan shows up and he's like, hey man,
I recognize your
you're
Jedi scent.
I'm a Jedi.
That's me. You help?
You want to help? And Chewie's like, yeah.
Like, dude, I know them.
Right?
They saved me from the Trandoshan.
Because they even have to bargain with Han. It's
Yeah.
not like an immediate thing, like Chewie sits Han down, and he's like, you're helping this guy.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like
Han's
if
got to
he
get
was
his
boys
money.
with Obi-Wan, he'd be like, we gotta help this dude, like,
Yeah.
regardless of getting
Yeah.
paid.
So
I don't think he knows Chewbacca.
them not knowing each other would make me think that if Han and Chewie are going to be in this show, it's going to be a joke. Mm-hmm. So Han and Chewie, like, well, Kenobi will be sneaking around the port trying to look for a way out. We'll see the Millennium Falcon, and we're like, oh, she's going to go talk to Han. He sneaks on the back, and we see Han and Chewie, like, loading boxes, saying something snarky, and then Chewie goes, mm-hmm. And then it, like, cuts to Kenobi hiding in the Millennium Falcon. He finds a spot in the cape room with Lando or something.
I would really like it because there's that scene in episode 4 where Han is talking about how the Force is like bullshit.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan is kind of giving him the sauce. Like, yeah, that's what you think. You know? You're like, yeah, sure. You think it's all about like luck and skill and whatever. He's like, but sometimes, you know, the Force is there. Mm-hmm. I would love it if there was a scene where like Obi-Wan passes and he's like, Han is just in the back and he like notices, he's like, that guy's got the Force.
That's a fucking weird reading from this guy.
It's very strange, you know? It's like, come on. Because I'm one of those people who's like, yeah, Han's Force sensitive. Dude, he just doesn't know how to use it.
In one of the Infinity comics, they literally make him a Jedi.
Yeah.
When Luke becomes a bad guy, or when Luke dies, I forget which one it is, Han goes to Yoda and gets trained to be a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has the Force. There's a very small.
There's another one where...
this wasn't found on Corellia.
There's another one where... Han, where Luke dies, and he's like, Dagobah, you have to go to Dagobah to become a Jedi.
Yeah.
And Han goes to, he goes with Leia to Dagobah, and he's like, I need to train to become a Jedi. And Yoda's like, no, you needed to bring her to become a Jedi. Give her the lightsaber.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, and he makes Leia the Jedi.
Yeah. I think that's 6.
That might be the story that you might actually thinking about.
Maybe. I thought they made Han a Jedi in one of them. But either way.
I mean, I've definitely seen Han with a lightsaber. Yeah. And that Jamie Costa short, he uses a magnet to get the lightsaber to himself. That was cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool, though.
Yeah.
Do some Han Solo stuff, man. Yeah. I mean, that beginning of that movie, I just activated a thermal detonator.
That's like my favorite scene.
That's a rock. And you just made a clicking sound. I'm like, dude, that's classic. That's classic Han Solo right there. Yeah. That was awesome.
That's the Han Solo we need.
And the rest of the movie happens, and I'm like,
his white jacket with the black thing as opposed to the black jacket.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite looks.
And then he switches to the brown suit, and I'm like, where'd you get this brown jacket, Han? You steal from fucking Toby?
They're like, do you guys know that Han Solo wears jackets that aren't white? It's like, yes, we do know. Did you also know he has a DL-44? Yes, we did. And the Millennium, yes. And the Die, yes. And the Lando, and the Chewie,
Lando,
and the shooting first. Everything that you know about Han Solo.
Kessel Run.
It all happened right here. In this one adventure.
Span of a week.
In this one adventure. Everything that you've come to know.
Han alone.
Nobody
alone, a Star Wars movie
on lack of family. All right,
the family.
The next news bit, I'm actually gonna say two news bits, and I didn't write one of them down because
we went off on a fucking tangent,
dude. We're really good at that. How long was that?
It's like 30 minutes.
Oh, sweet. It's a good episode then for the listeners.
Yeah,
enjoy it.
We done about Hayden?
Yeah,
dude.
Hayden Christensen claims to have watched through all 9 films, The Clone Wars and Rebels, in preparation for his return to the role of Anakin for the Kenobi show and Ahsoka. It should be interesting to see if he takes any cues from Matt Lanter's version of the character, if they tackle any flashbacks, like a personality or a charm, you know?
He didn't have any.
Yeah, you know, well, he... I like Christensen's... I don't want to comment on it. That's not for me to defend. That's for other people who are way more...
Yeah, I wrote, like, it. A personality or charm.
Yeah, well...
I wrote that yesterday.
That's awesome.
Well, no, because he was giving a stiff performance. Not his fault. It was how George wanted it directed and how they wrote the script. So he was giving, like, the performance he was told to give. There's actually, like, camera footage of George going, you need to tone it down. And he's like, okay. Yeah,
I like Christensen as Anakin. I have no problem with his performance. I just prefer Matt Lanter. Because when I hear, you know, all the things they say, hero of the Clone War.
Mm-hmm.
The Anakin that we got in episode 3 does not strike me as the hero of the Clone
War. Especially, and the second one doesn't look like he could be led there.
You know?
In Attack of the Clones, he's still running in loose hands.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and even in Attack of the Clones, he's very like, hey, you better go do this. You know, it's like he loses all of that in episode 3.
Question.
And it just becomes like a, he's question. Very monotone in that one.
Count Dooku
until he gets angry.
Count Dooku cuts off one of Anakin's arms, correct? I think it's the left one or the right one.
Camera shot coming in on them at the wedding. He grabs Padme's hand with the right arm.
Okay, so that's the robot one.
Yeah. I'm like,
Kenobi. Literally cuts off the other 3 limbs that aren't robotic.
Yep.
It's like, fucked. He goes, the ones he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Why not all 4 of them? He's got the Roman hand off again. Or his head.
He thought he was just going to die. That's why.
He should just cut his head
off. He didn't expect him to live through that.
I know, but he cuts all his limbs off except for the one that's already cut off. Like, the fuck?
He doesn't even really look at him.
He just
Yeah, he just kind of makes the move. But you got to also understand, he didn't want to do that.
I'm aware.
He didn't want to
left him to die in a volcano.
He left him to die because he didn't want to do anymore. He was like, it's over. It's done. I can't do this anymore. Like, you're going to die here. Like, this is the consequence of your action.
Yeah.
I'm done. Fight's over.
And then Vader comes back and gets him.
And he comes back, you know, and that's part of the driving force for why he's so pissed off.
Yeah, so I hope Lanter's performances does show off in Hayden's. Like, he takes some of the
I just think
stuff. Plus the Vader stuff in Rebels.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be interesting to see how he tackles the character now with all this extra information.
He should watch the Lego stuff with Darth Vader. Because all the Lego content with Vader is, like, the best, and that's the performance he should give.
Ewan McGregor did. He says he watched all 9 films, and he hadn't seen the prequels since they made them.
Oh, man.
I'm like, that's awesome. I love that.
Like, since we made those movies at the premieres, I haven't seen them. So I went back, and I was like, man, I hate these.
Well, he says that they've aged, like, all right now, and he's happy that people actually enjoy them now. So yeah. He looks at them less critically because they're not
so
cool.
He was in the first bad one, you know, Phantom Menace. Like, Anakin came in the second one, you know, Hayden. But Obi-Wan was there for the hate.
From the start, man.
For the hate of the Phantom Menace. Because that got a lot of hate.
He had to be there for the rest of them.
Yeah. Because he was playing the god.
There was no getting at it.
He was playing Kenobi. He was playing Guinness, man.
Yeah, but everybody loved him even back then. Yeah. We all loved Obi-Wan.
Kenobi was never... Well, it's because we know him also from the other expanded media. Yeah, I know he's not the same actor. Because we always liked Ewan in that role, but... You know, he still gives off, like, he's going to become Guinness.
It was crazy to me growing up and finding out, like, all this negative perception about, like, Hayden's performance. Because I was always the Obi-Wan fan. My brother really liked Anakin. Well, and I always just thought Anakin was, like, you know, he was fine. Yeah, you know, fine. I had no problem with the way that he was played. Mm-hmm. And I was a kid when I was watching these movies. And then I grew up, and even still, I had no problem because this was what I come to expect. Mm-hmm. And you just find out people don't like him. No. My dad was even like, he's such a whiny bitch. I'm like... Oh, like, sorry, I guess. Like, I didn't know. I
guess he offended you, homie.
Like, I guess when you saw this big, dark, brooding man in episodes, you know, 4 and 5, you were like, this guy is probably so stone cold underneath the helmet. It's like, but I guess you weren't paying attention in episode 6 when he's like, it's too late for me, son. It's like, that is a broken man. It's a very broken man.
He's only like 30 in that movie, dude. He dies.
He's like 40.
He dies at 40. Yeah. It looks like an egg.
Yeah, he's like 42 or 43 or some shit.
It's fucked.
He's a young man.
Man, at least Luke gets to live out to like 80.
45? Yeah, he's not 50.
No, he's not 50.
Yeah. It's crazy. I didn't write it down, but somebody interviewed Liam Neeson and they asked him if would show up in the Kenobi film. Or if he'd be willing to return to Star Wars.
His response is so dumb.
He's like, I would be willing to return to Star Wars, but I think for a film, because I'm kind of a snob for the big screen.
You literally voiced Qui-Gon in the
Clone Wars. That's what I was saying. I'm like,
what are you doing?
I'm like, this dude's lying. He's in the Kenobi show. Fucking.
Get out of here.
Like, take my Star Wars fan license if he's not. You know, I'm like.
Oh, man, we'll kick you off the podcast.
This guy's telling fibs. He's in the show.
What else is he doing? He's doing like weird action movies. Get him in Star Wars again.
He's in the show. He's lying. He's in the fucking show.
That's a wonderful cameo.
That would be a wonderful cameo. You know what would even be more wonderful? If he'd cameoed not to talk to Obi-Wan, but to talk to Vader. Vader's in like his fucking meditation chamber. Vader's in his meditation chamber. He's just like, look how far you've fallen, right? And then he's like,
dude, right? And Anakin, dad tells you to get bent.
Anakin just starts like having like these flashbacks. He's like, I'm sorry that I couldn't be there for you, Anakin. I couldn't have steered you in it. Like that thing that we as Star Wars fans have been saying for literally like all of existence, a reconciliation with Anakin that we've been looking for. Him apologizing like, perhaps I could have made this different, right? And how does that leave Anakin feeling? Is he like a little bit more remorseful after that? Or is he more pissed that he got goofed?
Yeah, man. That'd be cool.
Give it to me.
That's the way to do it.
Dude, we could write Star Wars.
We
could write Star Wars.
I have ideas.
Our wish fulfillment is...
Actually
pretty good because the things that we want aren't just all... Imagine if Obi-Wan picked up like a wall of guns and killed everybody. It's like, imagine if they actually did things that were like in keeping with what they were able to do and what they would do.
We actually like... I feel like we know a lot of the characters enough to be like... We're not coming in as writers who got hired just because we're writers.
I'm one of those people who I want continuity to be there for the sake of continuity, mm-hmm. You know? I don't want things just to happen Yeah. It's like, it's got to make sense for the character, for their motivations, and for what they're actually able to do. Which is why some of the Vader comics I read are a little fucking ridiculous.
Because I'm going to get a little crazy.
Oh, that monster is like the size of a planet. I'm going to put it down on the ground.
I'm
going
to eat it.
Wait, I guess he's just that powerful.
All right, last two bits of news.
Yeah,
one, Lego Skywalker.
Go through these quick. They're both video game related.
Yeah, so the Rogue One and classic character packs were released for Lego Skywalker Saga. DLC characters that are not already in the game have no voice acting, just grunts. Lame.
Lame.
Yeah, so the classic characters, Luke as a pilot, Leia, Han, Lando, and Vader, all have voice lines because they just reused the same ones they had.
Yep, they just treat them like the same characters.
Yeah.
And I expect the same thing to happen for Boba when he launches with the Mando pack.
Yeah. And then Rogue One with Chirrut, Baze, Cassie, and Jin, K2, Bodhi, and Krennic, they are just silent.
Yeah, they just grunt.
It's so bad. Even the Mando, like, is at least has, like, a little bit more, I think, right?
He doesn't. He just grunts, too.
I thought I heard him say, like, a little one-liner.
No, Grogu makes noise.
Grogu makes noise.
Grogu makes some noises, and that's about it.
It's so lame.
It is really lame, especially because they have voice lines for a lot of these things, you know?
They just cut the clips.
What kills me is they're making the Mandalorian still, and they couldn't get these guys to, like, just drop a couple of voice. Like, you're literally making the show. Just walk over and be like, can you say like 10 things into this microphone?
Say jokes.
Like, just say like a couple funny things
say,
about
the
your
way.
Character. Say, I wish I could take this helmet off. It's kind of hot in here.
Yeah.
Say, like, something funny.
Oh, my head's so big. I wish
anything. Didn't even have to be Pedro. It could have just been some random assholes working at, you know, what is it, TT Game?
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Something.
They got a bunch of people to redo all the line work for all 9 movies. But the problem is, like, those, we just did the movies, though. We just did the movies. No Clone Wars. No Rebels. They didn't even have
a DLC on the horizon. I get it's a Lego game. I get we should be grateful they're just adding characters. But it just feels very lazy when literally almost every other character in the game has voice acting, except for the ones you're adding after the game.
Why are Clone Wars, Rebels, and the Freemakers not already in it? Freemakers, I'm only saying it's the Lego thing.
Freemakers,
it's Legos. I know.
Like, they put them in. In
Force Awakens.
Yeah, the Force Awakens, they threw them in there. So I'd be fine if they added them later.
Clone Wars and Rebels are omitted for no reason. They better be doing level packs, motherfucker.
I'm scared to get Ahsoka and have her just go...
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
I'm like, you have the Clone Wars actors, and she has a very iconic voice who would probably be more than willing to do it.
It would be lame if we only get one DLC character that talks.
It would be.
It'd be so lame.
It would be very stupid, too.
Yeah. Very, very
it's like, this is the only DLC character we added that has new voice lines. Why? Is it because you're planning on making a Clone Wars pack at some point? Shut up. I hope so, man. May the 4th. We're waiting.
Yep, we gotta announce something.
Last bit of news. Amy Hennig, the director of Uncharted 1, head writer and creative director of the following 2 sequels, and her studio, Skydance New Media, have been appointed to make a cinematic adventure Star Wars
game. Woo!
Yeah, the project has been rumored to be a revival of Project Ragtag, which is a project that Hennig was originally working on, and it was being produced by EA. And it was going to be kind of the same thing, a cinematic adventure game set in the Star Wars universe. And reportedly, Amy and her team were working on that as far back as 2013, but it got canceled outright in 2017. That's when EA shifted all their work over to Fallen Order in full, which had already been in development for around a year with Respawn.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'd be cool. Amy Hennig, you know, she made those Uncharted games. They're directed really well. You know, obviously, the 4th game was the best directed, but that's mainly, I would think, attributed to the technology that they had and how long they've been writing
like
stories.
4 or 5 years.
So, I think Amy and her team, even though she didn't work on that one, they made good stories for the first 3 games.
Oh, dude.
So, I'm confident that they can make a good story for
show,
Star
for show.
Wars. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I just hope that it's Project Ragtag. After you showed me that trailer, I was like, ooh, I could go for a smuggler game.
Cool.
Because every time they tease us with you're playing a morally gray character or you're watching a morally gray character, they go, haha, just kidding, they're the good guy. Like with Mando or with Fallen Order where you're playing like a rogue Jedi, but it turns out he's going to go start a Jedi Academy or something.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we get it.
Maybe they'll
We haven't had any since like Dash Rendar and Kyle Katarn where we got characters that are just like, they're here.
Maybe they'll mix 13-13 with Ragtag,
that would be
and it'll
fantastic.
Be a Boba Fett heist game.
As long as it's like
that could be cool,
fun gameplay with like something that's not a regular Star Wars game, like a genre switch.
You know what I was
like
just thinking about that would be amazing? A game where you play as Boba Fett and you're doing missions, and Cad Bane is teaching you how to be a bounty hunter. Right? And there's, like, moments of conflict between these, like, your father taught me how to be a bounty hunter, you ungrateful little shit.
And then it flashes back and he plays Django taking Cad Bane.
Like, you're lucky I'm teaching you, right? Yeah, and then you play Django with the new, with the better move and the skill set that Bane is about to give to Boba.
Mm-hmm. That's what Star Wars 1313 could have been.
Let's not talk about that anymore before I get, like, upset.
That's on game. But that canceled Darth Maul game. It's like, really?
Yeah, so our content updates and waiting for May 4th in Kenobi, the Galactic Pal is out on Star Wars Kids, and Hunter got himself a baby Rodian.
Yeah, went to Target and got him.
What's his name?
Greedo. Because eat it. That's fine.
It's Greedo's kid from Mando Season 2.8, Final Chapter Prologue.
Greedo Jr.
Yeah, man.
It's baby Greedo, man, because, you know, it is what it is.
Now,
you think they have names in the Galactic Pals, but I have yet to watch that because I don't want to watch the kids stuff until I have to for the show.
Yeah, so. I feel that. But you did watch the Ewok stuff.
Cause there were cartoons that I watched before I went to work, and they're like 12 episodes.
You're like, dude, are you going to watch the Ewok stuff? I'm like, when you tell me that we have to talk about it, I'll watch the Ewok stuff. I'm like, if we're not talking about it this week or next month, no.
Season one is like genuinely enjoyable. Season two, like, kind of sucks. And the droid show slaps hard, dude.
Oh, yeah?
R2 and R2 are hilarious.
Yeah, I want to see the droid show. That's one I do want to talk about. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the new droid show whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
Anthony Daniels is, like, so excited to be doing C-3PO for it.
Yeah,
I mean, C-3PO and everything.
Yeah, I think it's going to be animated, though.
Well, I don't care. I'll take anything.
If it's live action, that'd be hilarious, though.
Cool.
It'd be cool if it was just a live action adaptation of the old show, because some of the characters they introduce are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fair, some of them are, like, stereotypes. Like, look, the hot guy and his fat friend. Like, cool, we get it, but, like, it'd be cool to see them.
Tired of stereotypes. You get too many stereotypes, you end up with the Halo series.
It would be better.
Lone wolf and cub. Our lone wolf got rid of his cub in episode 2 and gave him to a different lone wolf.
And now he has Cortana.
Now we have a million different stories.
And Cortana saw his pee-pee.
If you guys are interested in the Halo show, don't be.
Think of it as a comedy, you might like it.
Yeah. I can get with that.
It's good as a comedy.
All right, you ready to jump into our content for today?
Yeah, man. We got Vades.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, let me switch over my docs.
You can read the little, like, intro publication. Bit, and then I will jump into my bullshit.
Yeah, so, publication history for Star Wars, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, Legacies, and it's volume 2. And it's a canon trade paperback that collects issues 7 to 12 of the Darth Vader comic book series from 2017. By author Charles Soule with art by Giuseppe Camuccoli. It was published by Marvel in April 24th, 2018. Mm. The back of the book reads, Vader's story continues. Jacosta Nu, the Jedi Temple librarian, puts forth a desperate effort to gather and preserve whatever she can of the Jedi legacy after the Purge. Vader and the Grand Inquisitor cannot let Jacosta succeed and are sent after her as Palpatine views her as a particular threat. Her knowledge makes her almost a one-woman Jedi Order, and that must be stopped.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, and then there's a little opening crawl that I got in.
There's an opening crawl?
Yeah, so in the beginning of every issue, the after like the title page, there's like that yellow text. That's like the opening crawl for the issue.
Did you put one of those for each of these?
No, because all of them are relatively the same, minus a sentence at the end. So I was just going to use the first one because it kind of tells us what we're getting into.
Let's do it.
So, the fledgling empire has only just begun across the galaxy as Emperor Palpatine firms up his grip on the reins of rulership. It falls to those under him to make sure the transition goes smoothly. Lord Darth Vader, Palpatine's Sith apprentice, struggles to come into his own in the new empire, formerly a Jedi Knight known as Anakin Skywalker.
If you haven't been paying attention.
Vader betrayed the Jedi Order and took the lead in their slaughter. Now Vader has been put in charge of the Inquisitorius, a group of former Jedi fallen to the dark side. Their mission, continue what Vader began and wipe out the remaining Jedi. Who have thus so far invaded capture. I got an email in the middle of that.
I love it when it happens.
I was like, wait, what's the email say?
All right, so issues 7, 8, and 9 are all called The Dying Light.
Yeah, it's getting rid of Jacosta Nu.
Yeah, we gotta get rid of her.
And then the last two are The Rule of 5, which I thought was funny. All
right. So in issue 7... it begins in the Inquisitorius, and Vader is cutting off some Inquisitor limbs. He's maiming them without remorse.
Ron Coruscant.
Yeah, and the Grand Inquisitor's like, what are you doing, man? And he claims that this will teach them the pain of loss, a pain they will never forget, and it'll make them stronger.
Well, I think he's just taking it out on him because he's angry that he has no
limbs. I also think that, but...
I have no limbs, you must be angry, too.
Honestly, he's not wrong. These people are going to grow to hate their boss, and they're going to become, like, resentful douchebags because of it. Yeah. And they're never going to make the same mistake that they just made fighting him again.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, well, what did you do to lose that limb? You'll never do that again.
I tried to fight Darth Vader.
Yeah. Next time, we'll just ride our helicopter stuff off a cliff. Vader claims and that he hates how the Inquisitors fight and act like Jedi because they were trained like former Jedi. He thinks the Inquisitors suck, and the Grand Inquisitor's like, yeah, well, it's your job to make us not suck. And Vader's like, bet. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me what happens.
He goes, their methods are lacking.
Yeah.
And anyone who, this is a good line. He goes, any Inquisitors who fail to progress will be part of the Jedi Purge.
Yeah.
I was like,
let's go. Yeah, man.
He's going to add him to the body count.
He's dropping those lines. He doesn't care. Because his whole thing is like, you know, you guys are always believing in the Jedi way. And Anakin was never really like that.
The entire spirit.
He was always challenging the status quo, acting like a fool, you know? Even those Admiral Trench, he's like, you're a Jedi. You won't kill me. And he's like, I have no such limits. It's like, oh, God. And he murders him.
Yep. And then he comes back 7 seasons later.
Love it. On Jocasta's little planet. Oh, wait. No, 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 no. Vader.
Little map stuff.
Yeah, hold up. Vader, he is. He looks at the little list of names of the most dangerous Jedi in the galaxy with the Grand Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. And they see Jocasta new. And Vader and the Grand Inquisitor is like, bruh, it's an old lady. But Vader is like, Palps don't like her.
No, other names on the list, Yoda, Quinlan Vos, Ahsoka Tano, and Karrakhan Fila from Volume 1.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. He's like, I already got one.
Chuck, that's a dub.
I got a lightsaber, too.
Yeah, so...
Two down, three to go, right?
Yes. Where is it? What's Jocasta's planet?
That's the one I don't have. Oh. It just says, in her hiding place.
All right, so Jocasta's on her hiding place in her little planet.
With her little boyfriend, Gar.
Yeah, and she records her holocron, gives it to her assistant/friend/manservant, Gar.
Yep.
She's storing as much knowledge as she can for future generations in the holocron.
She's making a Jedi Academy.
Yeah. The Grand Inquisitor, as he's talking to Vader, he tells him how he hated Jocasta.
Old lady.
Because she never let him read the stuff he wanted to. He claims she believed it was for the elite.
Dude, she serves him hard sauce when she's like, I didn't think you were ready because you didn't have, you, I could sense dark side in you. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
well, look at me now.
Spin.
Rocking the dark side. Vader tells the Grand Inquisitor to look for the information on the Jedi in the galaxy and to not be distracted. At this point, they're walking through the Jedi Temple. Yeah. Flashback over to Jocasta. She tells Gar she'd been building a school, not an archive, and leaves to go find a list of the Force Sensitives in the galaxy.
With Astro Mech too.
Yeah, with their little Astro Mech. And then they leave him one of those Jedi Starfighters that we all love so much.
Dude, that's so cool.
Vader asks Palpatine back in, I believe it's in his office now.
Coruscant, yeah.
Yeah, Vader asks Palpatine why Jocasta is so dangerous, and he claims she knows everything, and she's a witch, his words paraphrase.
She's a witch?
Yeah.
You know, the stakes, she's a witch.
Yeah, pretty much.
But she must be found alive. Yeah. I need to interrogate her.
For us. Yeah, Palps wants Jocasta personally captured by Vader so the two of them may benefit from her knowledge.
I think he's got a crush on
her. He doesn't want the Inquisitors dealing with her at all.
I think he's got a crush on her.
He correctly assumes she will take it upon herself to save the galaxy, and he's right.
Like, I'm going to go fucking save the galaxy.
And that's pretty much where the issue ends.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say, or do you want me to just keep going?
No, she sneaks past some Coruscant guards, and I'm like, good job, guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you not catch this old lady?
Mm-hmm.
Issue 8 or
issue 8
stuff?
We're on issue 8. Hey, man.
You got any notes to talk about?
These are my notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. I was just like, I'm just going to paraphrase. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about things as I go that I remember are cool.
Because last time we did some of this stuff, you were like, notes for each issue. I wanted to make sure.
I wasn't harping overly much on the individual lines this time because I figured so most of the stuff was just like in here.
Yeah.
I'm like, and he probably would have them in there anyway because it's all from Wikipedia. Yeah. And they go really into it.
All right, so they spell a lot of things wrong.
They do.
Sometimes they double have, they have two of the same words, like her.
I'm yeah. Sometimes they just mess up.
Well, they're only people.
Yeah. It's okay. We're all only people, too.
They're only people.
That's why our podcast sometimes takes a month-long hiatus.
Hey, Imperial March in April. What do you mean?
Gotta love it. Issue 8. The issue opens on Vader choking an Imperial in Palpatine's office, and Palpatine stops him, stops him and says,
this one comes back.
And he starts talking about how Vader should take care not to become a tool of his own power and be more in control. Because he's like, if you just fall too much into this, eventually you'll just be killing people left and
yeah,
right.
I don't want to ruin Empire. He's dead, is what he says.
He's like, this
is
awesome. He's like, you're going to leave me with like a whole lot of nothing if you just keep doing shit like this.
I don't want to rule over a galaxy of the dead.
Jocasta, now inside the temple, has her droid blow itself and her ship up to hide any evidence that there's a Jedi on the planet when a security team comes to check out a power spike.
Yeah. Which from the Jedi ship.
Yeah, it's from her ship landing there. City security and the Imperials find the wreckage of the ship and the Jedi symbol, and then they report it to Vader, who comes to investigate. Inside the temple and inside the archives, Joe Costa. Yeah, they're like, it's a bomb.
Someone he's like, bomb. No, it's not Vader.
Yeah, Vader's like, you're wrong. Joe Costa enters the secret treasury in the archive after walking past the Grand Inquisitor and almost going to attack him. But he's like,
hold it in.
He's like, not going to do that. And inside the archive,
he's reading books with his feet on the table.
He isn't giving shit.
Chilling.
And she's like tweaking out. She's like, how dare you? He's on the fucking table. He's like, that's so disrespectful. Who's going to clean that? She reunites with the protector droid inside of the archive, Kator.
Yeah.
Vader, now at the side of the crash, informs the Imperials to call him Lord Vader.
Oh, yeah. Well, because he goes, what do I call you, Vader? Vader?
Darth? He's like, Lord. And he's like, ah.
Ah, okay.
All right. Use the Force to reconstruct an outline of the Jedi starfighter with the wreckage.
Oh, dude, this guy goes, we believe it's a terrorist bombing, and they, you know, there's could be more. And he's like, wrong. And he's like, do you mean my 11 years of detective work is wrong? And he goes,
oh, yeah. He's like, I don't mean to, like, be rude or anything, Lord Vader, but I've been doing this, like, my whole life. And Vader's like, I don't care.
He uses the Force to reconstruct it, and he goes, bet.
And then he's like, oh, if we had given a little bit more time, and Vader's like, we don't have time, dude. Like,
literally in the archive.
He's like, she's here fucking now, and she'll be gone by the time you figure out what actually happened. So we gotta go.
Yeah.
And he orders his forces to head to the Jedi Temple, and then he also heads there.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Costa retrieves the data chip she came for and prepares to leave, though instead she chooses to engage the Grand Inquisitor in combat.
Yeah, she finally goes...
Doesn't believe he's worthy of the archive's knowledge.
You can't read?
She's like, he's disrespectful, because he's just throwing books over his shoulder, too. Yeah, he's like,
drivel.
He's like, this book sucks. I love the Grand Inquisitor. I hope that he's like that in the show.
Rupert Friend, I feel like, can pull it off.
I really hope he's like a fucking, like, snot.
Bougie boy.
Dude, I hope he sucks. issue 9. Vader arrives at the Jedi Temple and informs the clone troopers that they are, in fact, hunting a Jedi.
Yo, Commander Fox is here. And he goes, but we got all the Jedi.
Is it Fox?
Yeah, they said it's Commander Fox. Darth Vader goes, were you there at the Purge? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, you missed some. And walks away.
He's like, we all do our duty. He's like, yep, well, not good.
Not good enough.
He's like, there's still a few more out there. Joe Costa.
List, actually.
Yeah, dude.
I listen to have a list of your best.
He showed it to them. He's like, here's the list of shit you missed. Clean this up. Fucking sends it to everybody. Joe Costa and the Grand Inquisitor duel in the archives while the Grand Inquisitor explains he never truly felt welcomed by the Jedi or believed fully in their ways.
It's a race thing.
Speaks of-
He makes it sound like she was racist.
You guys are acting a little bit racist. I just want to say that.
I think she was classist.
He speaks different. Of how he... Yeah, kind of. Like the Jedi Masters were the only ones deserving. Mm-hmm. He speaks of how he grew to hate them as time went on. He especially hated Joe Costa for preventing him from reading whatever he wanted. He's like, bro, I just want to check out this book from the library.
I want the books, though.
And she's like, well, you got to update your credentials, bro, and become like a Jedi Master.
She's like, you're not at an 8th grade reading level yet. You and your peasant people read at a 6th grade
level. Yeah, why don't you go hang out with your weird friend Anakin downstairs, who's also always trying to read all the books in the archive that I tell him no. It's one thing they totally have in common. The Grand Inquisitor gets the upper hand and is about to kill Joe Costa, but Vader steps in and stops the attack. As the two of them bicker over whether or not to kill her, she tosses a ton of books on them and retreats into the secret room.
She goes, if I can't have them, no one can. And
she throws all the books at him, and then she deletes the archive.
Yeah, she goes, bet, bye.
Yeah, she yells, oh, it says Vader. I don't know Bender. Why she changed it. Joe Costa yells to Vader. She won't let the Sith have the knowledge they've amassed and purges the archives. Then Vader enters the room, and the droid Kator scans him.
Cool ass scene.
Pulling his identity is Anakin Skywalker.
Puts him with his dead name straight quick.
Joe Costa hears it. She's like, oh no.
She's like, that one sucks.
Vader attempts to destroy the droid by throwing his saber, but it's
fucking catches it.
So then Vader moves in and punches it to shit.
He punches it through the fucking
chest. He destroys it with his hands.
Break his hand, though. He throws one fist and he cracks it.
Crushes his hand. Yeah, but Vader, that don't stop Vader.
It's a robot hand. He just can't feel it.
He's like, wow. And he punches through his head with the other one.
Can't feel the robot pain. At least not to my knowledge.
I don't know what the name of this weapon is. Joe Costa pulls a gun that shoots lightsaber bolts. Joe Costa pulls the Far Killer on Vader and prepares her assault, and then the issue.
Or it's a Far Killer.
Jocasta pulls a far killer on Vader and begins her.
She pulls out a fucking Glock, dude. She fucking rolls up with the lightsaber gun. She
pulls out the fucking 50 cal. What are you talking about? A Glock.
She pulls out the shotgun. It's got two shots.
She plugs the lightsaber like into a slot, and then it harnesses the energy of the kyber crystal
and shoots a lightsaber laser.
It's essentially shooting like tiny Death Star shots.
It's shooting what the lightsaber would feel like if it was.
Yeah, because that's basically what the kyber crystal, that's what they use when we find out in Rebels to power the Death Star.
Crystal Crisis.
So it's like that, just smaller technology.
Yeah.
Still, like, Vader obviously has a little bit of trouble deflecting the blast.
Yeah,
it's coming in. It's like an actual 50 cal shooting through concrete. Boom. It's not easy to stop. Like, he deflects somebody, he's like, what the fuck?
You know what would have been crazy? If he catches it in midair like Kylo.
Like Kylo.
Fucking holds it and then shoots it off to the side.
He knocks it back at her.
Insane.
And she gets fucking needlered.
Oh my god, yeah.
Oof, just she turns into a spray.
Yeah, so then we're jumping into issue 10, man.
Do we have the title for issue 10?
Dying the Light Part 4.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was only three parts.
The first four, I think. I messed it up too.
Issue 10. Vader tells Jocasta to drop her weapon as he doesn't want to kill her, but she's skeptical and keeps attacking.
She's like, dude, you're evil. No. Yeah,
you know, that's fair.
You're Anakin.
That makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't drop my weapon either if the crazy guy who committed, like, mass murder told me that he didn't want to kill me.
Yeah.
Jocasta lets Vader know she's aware of his identity and Palpatine's now, and that he's a puppet of the dark side. Nothing.
Yeah, he knows, dude, you're just a tool.
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
He's like, don't be mean.
That's why I want
don't blame me.
I want Hayden to watch the Lego stuff so he can say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Don't out me right now, bro.
Come on. Cool.
Whoa.
What the fuck, man?
What did I ever do to you, Jocasta?
Drop my dead name, flame me when I'm literally like a paraplegic. Like, what do you want from me? Come on.
Be better.
Her rifle finally breaks. Her lightsaber, like, melts inside the chassis. Mm-hmm. So
she just throws it.
Obviously, this thing's not meant to be used for a long amount of time.
Dude, she just throws it and made her and explodes.
Yeah, he sheathes his saber. He's like, I told you I don't want to kill you. And now that you can't fight me anymore, it's lit. But she uses the force to throw the faulty rifle at Vader and make big explosion.
It's a huge
explosion. Blows a fucking hole in the side of the temple.
And she jumps out.
And all the clones are like, that's a big explosion.
Whoa!
They're all like, look up there! She force pulls another saber off the wall and jumps through a new hole in the side of the temple, then descends into an onslaught of clone troopers, deflecting their attacks and defeating a good number of them.
Yeah, man. Commander Fox is like, guys, go to Quadrant 4.
Shoot the shit out of her. And then
shoot both of them, they're Jedi.
Vader appears in the hole in the wall, and he's mistaken for a Jedi by the troops, so they begin to fire at him as well. Commander Fox then sees that they're shooting Vader and goes, and he tells them and the Dark Lord's like, why didn't you tell them about my appearance? And he says, well, I didn't think that it was going to escalate to this situation. So he kills him.
You don't think.
So he just kills him. He's like, you should have thought.
Fox dies.
Maybe you should have used a brain cell. And he just kills him. Vader's not a very good boss.
Rolled up in like a fucking L-A-T-L-E patrol gun. Yeah. And he's like, hey guys.
He's like, Vader, we're here to save you. And Vader's like, you suck. And he looks at the guy next to him and he's like, you're Commander Fox now.
Okay.
Jocasta tries to jump to her death after being disarmed by the clones, but Vader catches her with the force.
Picks her up.
Pulls her aboard into the gunship he's now aboard. He receives the data chip from Jocasta and learns of its contents. Then Jocasta explains to him Palpatine likely wants to make more Vaders in the future, which would eventually make him obsolete. Vader is then outed as the former Jedi Anakin Skywalker.
He kills everybody in the squad
by Jocasta on the gunship. Retaliation. He kills the troopers and crashes the gunship.
Hey, don't you make me do this?
Yeah, killing Jocasta. I love that. He's like, just remember, all of them, they died because you decided to open your goddamn mouth.
That named me and I killed them all.
This is your fault. They died and it's your problem.
Anakin is a deflector. He deflects all the blame away.
Dude, episode 2. It's Obi-Wan's fault.
Oh!
He's holding me back. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? You can leave.
It's the council's fault. They don't want me to join.
You don't even have to be a Jedi. You can leave.
He blames Mace Windu.
You know, it's like they didn't even want to teach you.
And they literally told you you're 9, you're too old. And Qui-Gon's like, I'll do it myself. And then Qui-Gon dies. And then Obi-Wan's like, I guess it's me.
I mean, Obi-Wan's like, you've made a vow, not easily broken. It's like, it's actually pretty easy.
Just die,
You just leave. You just don't come back.
I'm done with that. Ahsoka does it, season 5.
It's like leaving a job you don't like, and you don't like the people there either, so you just don't come back.
One day you just walk out and you never come back. And they start calling you and you block all their numbers.
That's a pro move. Vader tells his master that Jocasta died in an attempt to escape him, and then he crushes the data chip in his hand, claiming he learned nothing from her before her death.
Yeah, because he's like, he's not finding little baby boys.
No.
Oh, so I got the names of these kids, and they don't matter, but I'm going to say them because I can.
Okay.
It's Darren Witt, Scape Lug, Devin Havolter, Alicia Taver, Chris Ilop, Anali Bisa, Nick Lowe, and Jacques Porte. Those are the kids that are on there. Are they anybody? No.
You know who's playable in Lego Skywalker?
Who?
Broom Kid.
That's Nick Lowe, dude.
You're like, I'm going to talk about the fucking Force-sensitive kids. I'm like, Broom Kid is playable.
What's cool about this is so there's an epilogue at the end of the
Burn of
the Light.
I have that.
Yeah.
You can talk about it.
Yeah, Luke shows up and sees Gar still chilling.
He's not there anymore.
What's his elderly friend?
Gar is covering up the, he closes in the area with rocks. He's like, well, there's nothing here for me. He's like, I'm not a Jedi. I'm not a teacher.
Yeah, well, she tells
him he closes it up and he locks it up. Mm-hmm. And then eventually just one of the rocks comes in and it's Luke on the other side.
Yeah, like,
he found the knowledge. Yeah.
And that's what he uses to make his Jedi school.
And that's why he's an idiot. Because he just follows their teachings.
He doesn't do his own.
He doesn't like have a thought in his brain.
And that's why he loses Grogu.
That's why he loses everything.
Yes. The rule of five. Ha ha ha. Funny joke.
Is that what these last two issues are called? All right. So issue 11 and issue 12 are the rule of five. On the planet Kabaria, in a cantina floating in the sky, Vader and the Ninth Sister prepare to take on a Jedi. The Ninth Sister thinks it'll probably be nothing because there's been a whole bunch of these like false sightings. She's like, yeah, any like asshole with a cylinder on his belt. They're like, a Jedi.
Yeah. They're like, oh man, he's got thermos.
He's got thermos. But Vader insists otherwise and that she should be grateful he's there as she still needs more training.
Yeah.
She's like, thanks, Dick. Vader enters the cantina alone, telling the Ninth Sister to only help if he requests it, and she remarks to herself that she can sense his eagerness to fight and his simultaneous eagerness to die.
You will die.
This guy is, like, full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Inside the cantina, Vader is besieged by a family of three bounty hunters who take his saber this using a tractor rifle and stun him with an ion grenade.
These guys fuck him up, dude.
They do.
They could kill Vader if they really, really figured, like, we're prepared.
I don't think they could because he literally gets up like 2 seconds after the ion grenade.
They just went like and just started going. I think they'd get him. This is a good plan, man. They shut down all his like robotics and stuff.
I think he would have needed more people.
Yeah.
I don't think the three of them would have been enough.
But it was cool they were a family. It was like a husband and wife and then their kid.
Yeah. I didn't get.
She's a splicer.
I didn't take any of their names down
because
they're like nothing characters.
I got him in here. The bounty hunter, his name is. Bada Cha.
I wish the daughter was Afro. That would have been sick.
That would have been cool. It's Bada Cha, and then his daughter, Chanta Cha, and the wife's name is Rama Cha. It'd be cool if it was Afra and then her family, because Afra's dad is around.
It'd be cool because then Afra has, like, shorter hair. So it's like she just cuts her hair, puts on some, like, different clothes, and then she, like, invades, like, his life.
Prequel, because this takes place before the 2015 run where they introduce...
Because Vader does shit like this all the time. This would be such a small moment in his life.
That he wouldn't Afra's even remember backstory is she's, like, an archaeologist from college who was, like, this sucks. I think
her dad is, too, right?
Her dad's a professor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also runs the museum.
They are smart folk. They're not these kinds
of people. They ain't bounty people, but it's a good splicer.
Yeah, the three bounty hunters activate their personal shields and begin trying to take Vader while he uses the Force to throw their patrons at them.
Get the fuck out of here! Dude, they make a joke about that. And he goes, yeah, he's not a Jedi. He wouldn't use people as cannon fodder.
There's like a shot where one of them, I think it's one of the Akbar people, one of the Mon Cala, he's literally like just face up against the shield and like blood is coming out of his mouth. I'm like, Christ alive, these guys are getting tossed.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah. Vader calls the Ninth Sister for help, claiming the Ion Pulse destroyed his saber and that he needs her help. But she just stays outside, stating to herself that the Ion Pulse must have fried her comps, too.
She's such an
ass. She's like, oh no, because she low-key wants him to die because...
Vader sucks, took her eye.
Yeah, and he's always threatening to kill her.
Yeah.
The Bounty Hunters...
She stopped taking the shit, though, in like this issue. At the end of this issue, she's like, yeah, okay.
I don't know. I think there's still like an element there of like...
Shit
being put in your place.
Well, yeah, he's still your boss, but like she takes it a little bit less.
Yeah, the bounty hunters flee the cantina, realizing they're losing, and Vader follows, taking his kyber crystal with him. Vader, outside the cantina, accuses the Nine Sister of trying to assassinate him. He's like, this is your fault, you did this.
Like, these are bounty hunters!
Yeah, but she dismisses the notion.
That, she's like, I'm not smart, and I'm not stupid.
Yeah, she goes, I wouldn't have come along if that were the case, because if they failed, then I'm here. And you can kill me.
She's like, why the fuck would I do that?
She goes, I'm no idiot. And Vader, and she's like, get on the speeder and go get them. Go for it, right? And he's like, fine, but if you leave, I'm gonna kill you. And she's like, yeah, I figured as much. I think it's in that moment where she's kind of like, I'm taking the shit a little more, because she knows he will come back and kill her. Like, dead ass. If there's any reason to suspect that it's her, he's just gonna murk her.
Get murked.
So, she has the bounty hunters on the speeders and flips a cargo shuttle onto them. They activate their shields to survive the crash, but Vader's waiting for them when they come out of the wreck.
Yeah, man.
Two paternal bounty hunters make a deal with Father. I don't know why. Oh, it's because I have the word father written in here. The two bounty hunters make a deal with Vader if they allow their daughter
to live. Oh, here we go, yeah.
They will tell him where the assassination order comes from. He agrees, and they unveil the kill order came from the top of the Senate building, which would be Palpatine.
Yeah, dude, Bada's like, it was an anonymous job we got from the Hunter Net. And then the wife is like, yeah, we needed it because we were motivated by all the money. And Vader just goes, unfortunate. I'm going to kill your daughter if you don't tell me what I want. Yeah. He just goes, unfortunate.
Like, I really don't care either which way.
I underlined unfortunate because that's the Vader inflection. He's like, nope.
I love sucks. It. I love it, the way that he speaks to people. He's just so matter of fact about things. He's like, black and white? Nope. I will kill you.
Rule of five, part dose.
Part dose, and this is the last issue that we have for today. So aboard Vader's ship, his information droid tells him it is likely the kill order came from his master based on the information they have.
Finishes it came building from the Imperial Executive Building in the office of Palpatine.
They're like, this is where it came from, dude.
And the droid's like, 97% probability that it's your fucking dad.
And Vader's like, well, that sucks.
He's like, no, it can't be.
No!
Goes, who else has the codes to get in? And he goes, there's seven Imperial guys. You got Corran Farrow, Tarkin, Jair Crota, Cassio Tej, June Streffy, Tomas Azorius, and Zorta Bingen.
Yep. He finishes building his iconic saber because his other one got destroyed by the ion pulse. Yeah, the one that we love from the movie. Yeah,
they hop out of hyperspace and they don't have any identifiable codes and they start getting shot at.
Do you want to read it?
I got some stuff in here.
Yeah, but go for it. Because I'm like trying to read it and you just keep like coming in.
Well, because I don't know what you got.
I have all of it. I have the whole fucking story. Well, that's what I told you.
You were mad-libbing a little too much in the last one. You
skipped. There's not a lot to do going on. You wanted me to get into their familial ties and all their like individual little bullshit?
I'm just hitting up a name.
You know, what did you want to talk about? I'm not talking about characters that are like nothing burgers that we're never going to see.
I just like throwing names.
I don't think that there's any point.
Nothing burgers.
I'm like, you want to read the comic? Read the comic.
Dude, I didn't know Tarkin's name was Will Huff.
Yeah, Will Huff talk.
I did not know it was that. I knew his name was Tarkin, and his name wasn't Grand Admiral. But I also, when Moff Gideon was first introduced, I thought his name was Moff. But it's not. Gideon is like his surname.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Krennic.
I don't think Gideon has a first name.
Oh, I think this hasn't been revealed yet. Orson Krennic is his name, not Director Krennic, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if Moff Gideon has a name.
Like Armitage Hux.
Yeah.
Moff is just a type.
I know.
Yeah, the ship that Vader and the Night Sister are aboard is flagged by the planet security as a separatist ship, and they're seemingly unable to transmit their clearance code, so Vader is forced to take defensive maneuvers and crash lands on the planet. In the Jedi Temple, they just, like, no, I guess nobody comes to get them and deal with them, yeah. Or they realize that it's Darth Vader, because we like, just cut to the Jedi hell. Temple now.
Yeah.
And Vader asks Palpatine if he issued the kill order. Palpatine just asks Vader to see his lightsaber. Surprisingly, Vader, even after suspecting Palp's ordered his death and not getting an answer from him, he hands him the weapon. He's like, here. Palpatine then puts it like up to his throat and claims if he wanted Vader dead, he would just kill him. He then states that if Vader wants these assassins found, it's his problem to deal with because Palpatine's too busy running
good luck.
His galaxy. Vader then meditates on who he thinks tries to have killed and remembers the Imperial was choking him, that he was choking in Palpatine's office. We also see this intercut with the scene of two masked men, presumably the Imperials.
I dubbed them Horny and Hoodie.
Yeah. These are the Imperials, and they detail their plan of how they snuck into Palpatine's office and issued the kill order, all in an effort to divide Palpatine and Vader and get one of them to kill the other. And then shatter that kind of whole thing. Because they were like, it's ridiculous that we work our whole lives for the Republic. Mm. And we've been like recruited and hired as the best of the best. And then this fucking like douchebag just gets to choke us whenever he feels is necessary. So
yeah.
That plan is to just drive a wedge between Vader and Palpatine.
Yeah, the one he was choking, his name is Colonel Baroki. And as after he tells Palpatine, he's like, I think it's this guy and his boys. Palpatine goes, he's like, I don't want to rule over an Empire of the Dead, like I said originally, but you need to you can punish them if you choose. And he's like, but keep Tarkin, we need him. Yeah. Tarkin's the guy.
I wrote that too. I'm like, that's important. I said he gives him permission to make an example of some Imperials, all except Tarkin, as he needs him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought needed was like a funny way to describe him. I need him. Like, why? What can he do that none of the others can? I need him. Don't ask.
Don't ask.
Palpatine then calls a meeting of a number of Imperials and sets the record straight that Vader is his man and you don't mess with him.
You don't mess with the boy.
Vader then calls out the names Ferro, Bingen, Streffy, Azorus, and Baroki to step forward. He details the assassination attempts on his life and claims that he has his suspicions, though it doesn't matter who truly did it, as he will always survive. He then claims to have picked 5 people at random and force chokes them to death.
I put at random in quotes.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, he picked the one he didn't like specifically.
The ones he knows did it.
Yeah.
And force chokes them to death in an example that treachery will not be tolerated. But
one of the conspirators is still alive. Hoodie. He's the one that only has 3 fingers.
Well, you know, even if... And this is the beauty of it, right? This is what Vader's saying. He's like, I don't even care if the people that I'm about to kill are the ones that actually did this. You should know that you're up on this chopping block at any time that I see fit.
Yep.
If another attempt is made on my life, I'll just pick another 5. If another one is made, another 5.
We're just going through.
Until the attempts stop, you know? That's kind of how he's looking at it. He's like, so do you want to be responsible for yourself and for other random innocent people dying? Probably not.
So he got Baroki, which was one of the hooded guys. We believe this was Horny.
Mm.
But Hoodie is the one missing fingers. Yeah. Who is it? I don't remember. I think we'll find out later on in the story. But
I don't think this ever.
Missing fingers.
I don't think these things ever get brought up again.
Well, besides the Vader
comic. I think that missing finger thing was just for us to see. Like, this is one of the dudes who was sitting at the table.
Maybe.
I think that was just. Because I'm fairly certain that this never really comes back around.
Hmm.
Like, I remember reading this.
Unless it was one, this is cool. Unless it was one of the Inquisitors, because he was chopping limbs off. Maybe he chopped fingers off. So maybe it was supposed to be...
The Inquisitors wouldn't be dressed like that. They would be wearing their full gear.
If they were disguised.
I don't think it was them. I don't think it was Inquisitors.
I was only thinking because they lost limbs at the beginning of the story, so why not be like, yo, Vader sucks?
Yeah, I think that was just for us to see that it was this Imperial dude. He didn't get killed, so Vader was like, these are the ones I'm picking, you know, and obviously the conspirator's still alive, but this is like a notion to you, the one who is left, that you could be next. I may not get you next time. You may try again. You may succeed. Mm-hmm. But if you fail, we're going to have another meeting like this, and you may be next.
I hope,
you know, because there is no escaping me. I can escape whatever you throw at me. When it's me and you in a room, where are you going to go?
Yeah. I hope that you're wrong in a way where they tell us who it is. But at the same time, if they don't, I see where you're saying.
Yeah, like, I don't need him. I think it was kind of just
an example thing. But, like, making them only have 3 fingers just comes off as, like, that's deliberate. It could have just been a guy.
I don't think that there are any Inquisitors that are just missing fingers.
No, I don't know. And I'm not just stating it was Inquisitor. It was one of my speculations. Yeah. I don't remember who it is. I haven't read this, like, since it came out years ago.
So these are the fucking freakers.
The freaky dicky boys.
Yeah, no, it's that old man that's standing there. Because he's got, like, crusty hands and long fingernails. I'm going to fucking go to that page where we see the back of his hand.
Yeah. Crusty old man.
He's got those crusty hands.
So I think it's just one of these fucking random assholes.
Maybe it's Tarkin.
It's just one of these dudes you're seeing in the back, you know? Yeah. I think it's this guy.
I mean, yeah.
Because he's not showing any kind of remorse or being scared or anything.
It looks like they zoom in on him specifically, but hold on, let me see. I'm scooping. But it looks like he's too far back in the lineup.
Well, Vader's already walking off, so that could be a perspective change, too, in the next panel.
No, it looks... I don't know. It could be that guy because he's stoked.
Part two, but there's no other old man on the other side behind that we can see.
Yeah, that guy's stoic.
So I'm like, maybe this guy, he's just like, show no fear, show.
Well, because you can see the guy with the red hair is right there.
Yeah.
And the guy with the red hair right there is on the left. So it's someone.
This guy's also dead in that panel.
No, there's another guy with red hair right back there. So this dude has red hair.
Mm.
And then
so you think he's just off in the back there?
And then.
Yeah, no, I see where you're coming from.
So he's off in the back that he's
obscured. It could be. Either way,
he's literally obscured by like a hand.
I think it's one of those things where...
Why make that guy look so deliberately stoic?
But that's the thing, too. They didn't show us the faces of the two dudes that are in the cantina. It's like, but if it's just the two of them in a bar together, why wouldn't we need to see... I think that's why they did it. Like, it doesn't matter.
For later on.
You know, it's like, maybe these people that Vader picked out, maybe one of them wasn't even one of the people who did his life. Maybe he really just picked five people that... Yeah. He's like, I choked you in the past, so you have the most reason to kill
me. I believe Baroki was one of them. I believe the horned guy was the one that was the one who got choked in the earlier issue.
Well, he was,
yeah,
and that's why Vader.
So that's one of two,
and that's why Vader believed he was like the. I'm saying we know he was the guy who got choked, and that's why Vader believes he was the problem. But we have no way of knowing for sure if those two dudes who made this conspiracy, if either one of the, well, if one of them was killed.
Yeah.
You know, we know one of them lived, and. We don't know if the other one did, though. Mm. And I think that's kind of intentional. Like, it doesn't matter. This is literally... It could have been any...
Well, no, it says here that while he was meditating, he gleans through the Force that it is Baroki, is one of them. That's what it says in Wikipedia.
Okay.
But the second one...
I'm a little skeptical about Wikipedia sometimes, because it's written by Star Wars fans who are also interpreting things, like, you know? It's like, if you're not reading it for how it is...
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to just write that this is how it is, right? And then, all right, that's how it is. It's like, but then you ask the person who wrote it, like, so this is how it is, right? And they're like, yeah, that's how I interpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, you know? So if that's the case, sure, I can buy that he actually saw one of them and just didn't see the other one. Or maybe he did see the other one and intentionally left him alive. But I think it more plays to the idea that it doesn't matter who he really killed. It could be any Imperial at any time that could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is him saying, like, if it happens again, I'm just going to kill you guys.
He's establishing power.
Like, you guys are expendable. But there will always be another you.
And then there's infighting with Krennic and Tarkin.
I love that. I want a Krennic and Tarkin. I want a Krennic and Tarkin novel where they just go back and forth.
There's a little bit of back and forth in the Catalyst 1. And then in the Catalyst book. Krennic?
Yeah. I hope he's in Bad Batch. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, because he's building the Death Star. He's one of the head architects.
Galen, too.
Show Galen in there, yeah. Merrick and Starkiller.
Oh, you want them both?
Starkiller and Erso. Yeah, dude, hit him up. Yeah, man.
All right, that's it, man.
Yeah,
that's, that is those are your issues.
Legacies and...
It's good shit. It's good stories.
Yeah, I kind of liked the... Not that I didn't like the Jocasta news story. I liked the back half more because I like...
Spelled Greedo with an I.
Come on, man. It's too easy, like greed. I like the back half more, not the Rule of Five story specifically with the bounty hunters, but I like how the Vader's plot line is just like, I am the best and I need to be the best.
I am the best.
And anytime someone steps up, he's like, I must kill them. And yeah. Palpatine's like, bro, don't kill everyone.
He's like, listen, I know you're really happy about how you're not in the Jedi anymore, and they're not really telling you what to do anymore, but you can't just kill everybody. That's, like, not how you run an empire.
I'm killing my dudes all the time.
It's like, you can kill, like, one guy a day.
Yeah, one dude.
One a day.
Oh, man.
That's so lame.
It's like Kylo.
That's only one more a day than the Jedi were giving me.
Lame.
I hate this. Yeah, I really like just the nuance of what it's like to see him kind of up and coming in the Empire.
For sure, for sure.
It's cool.
Very cool.
We've talked so much about Darth Vader. I don't have much more to say other than that.
We'll be talking about more Vader in the time to come, because we've got two more volumes, I think, in this storyline.
I think I'll have a lot more to say when we get to the stuff that's in the sequel or OT timeline.
Oh, 2015's run?
Yeah, when he's...
Kylo Ren with Vader down and Aphra. That shit's fire.
No, not even Aphra. I'm talking about the stuff where it's...
Well, no, in that Aphra's introduced in that comic book.
Yeah.
Right after Vader down.
I'm talking about more so about the stuff that's him in, like, Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Indian voice.
Him and, like, the Momin helmet and stuff. Like, there's so much cool shit that's going to be coming up.
We'll get there, man.
I think the Momin stuff might actually be next.
I think we don't have too many more comics in this timeline before we get to those.
I'm pretty sure Momin is actually... Because I know that this, like, ends the Omnibus, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Omnibus that I have is the little bit.
And that's the 2017 run.
Yeah.
And then we have... the newer run, which I think is the 2018 run, which is the Dark Heart of the Sith.
Yeah, that's the episode 5 stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so before we get to any of the Vader stuff, well, after this, we have Burning Seas, which is Lord Vader 3, Fortress Vader, where he gets his fucking castle on Mustafar. We got Lando, Double or Nothing, Han Solo, Imperial Cadet, Jedi Fallen Order, Dark Temple, and then Kanan and Thrawn. And then we're up into Darth Vader stuff again. So, big exciting.
Yeah, this is the
Legends. And Han and Chewie with Greedo, if that volume comes out by the time we get there.
This is the Legends one, I think. Yeah. I don't know. They get no, this one has Aphra in it. This is canon.
Yeah. That's probably 2015 run. Yeah. Or is it the heart of...
I think this is the 2015 run. Yeah.
If the writer's Kieran Gillen, then yes. I mean, we got a lot.
It is. Yeah.
The Vader stuff is tight. The first volume of Darth Vader is just called Vader, which I think is fun.
Where is the Moment Helmet? Where the fuck did that come in?
I don't know.
I'm looking for it.
I got stuck to where.
I don't see it. Is it in the second collection of stories? Maybe. Because this is mostly an Aphra story. Mm. Oh, there's Black Chrysanthemum.
Yeah, Santo.
Gotta love that.
Santo. That's the Darth Vader annual, and yeah, it's just a Santo and Aphra story.
Yeah, this is what that one is. Where is the Moment one?
I don't forget it. Anyway, guys, before we get lost in the Moment.
The Moment sauce.
The Moment sauce. Let's get into the last little closer. Where is there's? Thank you guys for listening. You can follow the podcast at Frontis Galaxy on Instagram to keep up to date with the episodes as they release. As of this recording, I still have yet to post the thumbnail for the Galaxy's Edge one, but it's out, so you can listen to it. Thank you for listening if you did. And what we will be covering, you can follow me, Hunter, at Scruffy Moose Man, and Alex, the Dude Kenobi.
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a friendo.
As always, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.